And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shookie Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tusk Free Farm Radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon and evening. As I'm here with you at a special time today from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on what has been an absolutely crazy day in the NHL, as NHL free agency is officially underway. And within the last few minutes, it has become official that Johnny Gaudreau is heading to the Columbus Blue Jackets on what is a 7-year deal. And it looks like it is going to be around roughly $9.5 million per season. The phone lines are open. I'm here with you until 9 o'clock. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. My good friend, Nick Alberger, fantasy hockey analyst, betting analyst for Sportsnet, is joining me at 8.05 p.m. Eastern, 5.05 p.m. Pacific time, to talk about what has been a crazy day in the NHL in terms of the free agency. Yes, even the Boston Bruins made moves. A very surprising move they made earlier today, in which they went out and they made the trade for Pavel Zacha of the New Jersey Devils. They traded for him. In which they sent Eric Haller to the New Jersey Devils, and what is a one-for-one deal. So that move took place earlier today. And as we wait for Nick Alberger to join in, to call into the program, I first want to start off by saying it is great to be back at a special time, albeit it's been a very crazy last couple of weeks. You know, a lot of things going on, like, away from the radio, in which that I hadn't been on during my regular time, but that is going to change in very short order. But I'm very happy, very excited to be here with you this evening. But with all that being said, man, what a day. And what makes this day particularly crazy for me is that when you begin to really put the pieces together and you begin to, you know, just make sense of everything that went down today, you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, you thought that today was going to be one of those days where we're like, okay, maybe a couple of big deals here and there. Yeah, sure. But, oh, no. A lot went down today. And I'm sure even though this is only day one of free agency, this is just the beginning. As we are now approaching sunset here in the on the East Coast, in the Boston area, and dare I say, man, listen, I will also tell you that today is just a signal of what is to come. Today for the Boston Bruins could also be a signal of what is to come. There has been a lot of rumors circulating in relations to what the Bruins are going to do or what they might do in terms of bringing back Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci. But nothing concrete, nothing definitive yet. And even rumors surrounding David Pastrnak in terms of Pastrnak requesting a trade, which I truly do not even buy. But I find it to be really annoying when I see Twitter hardos tweet out rumors, oh, David Pastrnak, according to my sources, said that he's out. Like, based on who? Based on who? Based on what? In fact, I had some idiot earlier tweet at me saying, well, it just seems strange that you're tweeting out the same time as a lot of these insiders and whatnot. And it was just like, I'm not a reporter. It's something called you can't tweet out news as it's happening. And I did that a lot. It's like live tweeting games, except that you're live tweeting what's happening in the NHL. I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, today was one of those days where if you're an NHL fan, you were not disappointed. From Brett Burns being traded from the San Jose Sharks to the Carolina Hurricanes. That was a really surprising move in that regard. To Andrei Burakovsky signing a 5-year deal with the Seattle Kraken. I didn't see that coming. And then Max Domi and Andrea Athanasiou agreeing to deals respectively with the Chicago Blackhawks. And one of the bigger moves, and we're going to talk with Nick about this in just a few, in terms of Vincent Trocheck, who on my Twitter, at Shukri Writes, you can follow me there, I was talking about how he would be a good fit for the Boston Bruins because of his style of play and as someone that can put the puck in the back of the net and is very aggressive on the forecheck, wins faceoffs. He agreed to a 7-year deal with the New York Rangers today. And a move that really just opened my eyes. I said, whoa. Huh. You got to admire the absolute, balls of general manager Chris Drury of the New York Rangers on that deal and on that move. And I'm sure that's not going to be the last move that he makes as the Rangers, amongst other teams, other contending teams in the East, look to buff up in areas where they need to improve upon. You want to talk about teams that went out and got better today? Talk about the Capitals. The Capitals went out and they signed Darcy Kuemper, Stanley Cup champion from the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. I know it's been a few weeks since I've been on, but what a day. What a day it's been for the NHL. What a day it's been for the free agents, all of the moving parts, the news that have been breaking, and just everything else far and in between. I'm here with you till 9 o'clock, and I'm just waiting for Nick to get here. But in the meanwhile, we're going to continue to talk about the day that was for the Boston Bruins. And I want to talk about them specifically because I am amazed how a lot of these moves that the Boston Bruins are making right now, it just seems to me that they are doing whatever they can to get the crew back together to make one last push, one last run for the Stanley Cup. Because everybody and their grandma knows that the Bruins Stanley Cup window is closing. Let me take it a step further. If, and I do mean if general manager Don Sweeney is able to convince David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron to re-sign with the team, and on top of that, find a way to retain and sign David Pastrnak to a long-term contract extension. I'm telling you, maybe, just maybe, next season, it's not all doom and gloom. And apparently, there is something brewing. I don't know what it is, but I was listening to Felger and Maz earlier today. And they played a clip in which that Kevin Weeks was on ESPN Plus for the NHL Free Agency Frenzy broadcast. And he said something that caught my eye, or should I say caught my ear. Apparently, Torrey Krug, there's a chance that he could be traded back to the Boston Bruins. And if you're the Bruins, and if you're a Bruins fan, that really should excite you. Throw out the sentimental feelings for a moment. But here's why it should excite you. Number one, right now, Torrey Krug would be, and I do mean would be, your second best left-handed shot defenseman, but it's also someone that you also know for the years that he played here with the Bruins. His grit, his hustle, what he brings to the power play, because let's face it, the Bruins' power play absolutely sagged towards the end of the season. That's a fact. Krug would immediately boost the power play. That's number one. Number two, another reason why is because now, as media or as fans, you can debate on who would go if Torrey Krug were to be traded to the Boston Bruins after signing what was a 7-year contract with the St. Louis Blues. But I do know this, though. There's too many left-handed shot defensemen on this team, which means someone's got to go. And if you ask me, I think it's Matt Grizzlick, who may be the odd man out. Why? Not because he's the weakest link, no. The reason is because you can't have two small-built defensemen on this team. It's just not going to work. And in terms of money, money has got to be freed up. Grizzlick would be the odd man out, unfortunately. So if Krug were to be traded back to the Boston Bruins, Grizzlick has got to be included in that deal. There's no question in my mind about that. As we are still waiting on Nick Alberger to call into the show, we're going to continue on with the program, and perhaps maybe the delay is a little bit of a good thing, simply because at least for now we're able to continue on. In fact, we're going to take a brief pause for just a second. Yeah, so that was Nick Alberger, who just called into the show, and he is here with us now. So we're going to take a quick music break. And when we return, we are going to talk with Nick Alberger about free agency and how crazy it was, and as well as some of the moves that has been eye-opening, to say the least. So this is an interview that you're definitely are not going to want to miss, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show, here with you until 9 o'clock Eastern, right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
chim, 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 sha-la-la-la, chim, 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 sha-la-la.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. As we are returning back from break now, before we go to our guests here, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the program, as we are now joined by a good friend of mine who has been on the program before, but it's been a while. But I'm very happy that he's able to join us this evening, as Nick Alberger, fantasy hockey and NHL betting analyst for Sportsnet and a co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, joins the program. Nick, good evening on what has been a pretty gratifying day for a man who absolutely yearns for NHL trades. How are you doing, bud?
I am fantastic, my man. Thanks so much for having me. And yeah, in general, I think the NHL had a bit of everything today. You know, numerous trades as mentioned, and also $500 million or around there spent. It was quite the fascinating day as we get set for the offseason in the summer here.
Oh, absolutely. Let's start with the big news that just broke within the last hour. My goodness, Johnny Gaudreau, first and foremost, he decides that he's going to test free agency. He's not going to re-sign with the Calgary Flames. And now he is a new member of the Columbus Blue Jackets, it looks like. And this is absolutely just shocking in every sense of the word. So I just want to get your early thoughts on what looks like this is the term of the deal. 7 years, about $9.5 million per season. Thoughts on the Johnny Gaudreau signing going to Columbus. Does that surprise you in any bit?
Absolutely stunned. I think my gut going in today suggested that it was going to be the Devils or the New York Islanders with an outside chance of Philadelphia team. I mean, no secret, he probably wanted to go to. They just couldn't make it happen financially. And then out of nowhere, Columbus shows up and steals the prize. You know, not really knowing behind the scenes what's going on, how much the Islanders are able to propose, how much the Devils are able to get in there. We know Calgary's final offer was 8 years and around $10.5 million. So it sounds like he left about $15 to $17 million on the table. But I just, you know, and I understand family is a big part of it. I think it's important to humanize situation in pro sports. But
absolutely,
to make a move going from Calgary to Columbus, I just don't know how he views Columbus as a legitimate threat to win a Stanley Cup. And even the duration of this 7-year contract. Now, obviously, they're in the midst of a rebuild. They got some nice pieces like Zach Werenski and Patrick Laine and Kent Johnson and Cole Sillinger coming as well, and Igor Shinnikov. But they're not a team, in my opinion, that's not, you know, going to be a serious contender anytime soon. So obviously, there's some risk in signing this contract, but it's quite clear that they probably offered him the most money out of any team out east, at least.
And when you talk about the Eastern Conference, and we're going to get to the Bruins just a little later on, but another team that really opened my eyes today, stop me if you heard this before, is the Detroit Red Wings. They go out and they sign David Perron, but it didn't just end there. They go out and they also add Andrew Kopp, Ben Sherratt. And it just seems to me that the Detroit Red Wings have a plan, and specifically general manager Steve Yzerman. And I wonder, based upon what we saw with the Red Wings and their moves that they made today, how close are they to finally returning to being Stanley Cup playoff contenders again in the East?
Well, that's certainly one of my prevailing stories in the outcome and the fallout, if you will, of day one of NHL free agency, is how much tighter I think the Atlantic Division has got in, say, the last 24 hours in general, even dating back to the NHL draft. The Ottawa Senators are much improved over the last week, and certainly Detroit got much, much better today. That's why I start to wonder about your beloved Boston Bruins, especially with all the injury concerns there in the first half of the season. They better stay afloat, but the games are going to be much tougher now in the Atlantic Division. I think you make a great point that it seems like Detroit's had a plan ever since Steve Yzerman took over, and they're starting to execute said plan. You know, the first part of it was building the prospect capital, building some of these prospects up. Now we're starting to see them in the NHL. And, you know, the next step is bringing in some veterans. And as you mentioned today, they did so. David Perron, Andrew Kopp, Dominic Kubalik, Ben Sherratt. So you start to insulate some of these youngsters with guys who have been there before and have played meaningful games. And then all of a sudden, you start to have hope and aspirations of at least, you know, competing and flirting with a playoff spot. And I think that's probably the next step for Detroit. Not to mention, I like what they did in net as well, complimenting what they had in Alex Nedeljkovic. You know, Thomas Grice is gone, but you bring in Ville Husso in a trade, then you sign him. So certainly, at the very least, it's going to be a much more competitive Atlantic Division next season.
I think you can make a compelling argument that the Atlantic Division is going to be the most interesting division in the East, if not in the NHL, next season. But speaking of interesting, Carolina today screamed to me that we are a team that we're not far off from the Stanley Cup. So why not, instead of making the big splash, make some moves that are going to open up some eyes and potentially push them over the top? You talk about the Carolina Hurricanes. They went out and acquired Max Pacioretty, Coughlin from Vegas. But the move that surprised me was when they went out and acquired Brent Burns and Peterson from San Jose. Based on the moves that the Carolina Hurricanes made, does that catapult them closer to being a team that could potentially come out of the East next season to go to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I'm always careful to anoint like a winner of the offseason, at least this early on. But certainly, how could you not like what Carolina has put together today, at least? I know they lose, you know, obviously some guys, and the big ones, obviously, going to the Philadelphia Flyers and all that. But certainly, Anthony DeAngelo was a big piece. But then sort of you replace him with a guy like Brent Burns, who can certainly run a power play. Like, that was one of my major takeaways from, you know, the postseason and why Carolina didn't ultimately go all the way and win a couple more series, was their power play was dreadful. Like, I documented the numbers on social media, 7-54. They were 13th ranked in the regular season. I think certainly a guy like Pacioretty will help that. Certainly Brent Burns, I think, will fill that role that DeAngelo leaves behind. And I think to the point of Brent Burns, I think he's just going to be a guy that he could focus more so on his offense, because there's so many studs in the back end there for Carolina. And then you compound with the fact that Dylan Coughlin had a nice little uproar next season, taking off to the next level. And Andre Kasha brings some pugnacity to that lineup as well, if they maybe lose in the form of like a Nino Niederreiter, Max Domi, and other guys. So certainly, I think when you look at Carolina, they're well-placed, and I think they are a contender once again. You know, I just, again, wonder about the goaltending. Freddie Anderson did not play a playoff game this season. They have two guys in Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta. You just never know if they're going to stay healthy. And quite frankly, there's a lot of teams that deal with that on a yearly basis, so that's probably still my takeaway. I think Carolina is much improved, clearly, than they were to end the regular season, but I still have wonders about their goaltending situation.
If you're just tuning into the program, we are joined by the one and only Nick Alberga, fantasy hockey NHL betting analyst of Sportsnet, co-host of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Now, in terms of the Boston Bruins, there is something to be said about Don Sweeney, as I have completely ripped him apart on Twitter, as Bruin fans have seen and have heard over the last few weeks. But today, he goes out and trades Eric Haller to the New Jersey Devils for Pavel Zacha. And there are question marks in terms of what exactly is Pavel Zacha's potential. I said earlier on a video that I posted on Twitter, in which that I think that this is someone that could score 20 goals if he's in the right system. And for whatever reason why, when he was with New Jersey, he never scored more than 17 goals in a season. So in terms of Pavel Zacha, like, what value does he bring to the Boston Bruins offensively? And do you think that under new head coach Jim Montgomery, does he begin to tap into the potential as to why the Devils took him when they took him in the NHL draft back in 2015?
Yeah, so firstly, I think it was a good deal for both sides. You exchanged a 31-year-old in Erik Haula, who clearly wasn't going to play in the top six considering the additions we think that they've made, namely David Krejci, certainly among others. And you bring in a Pavel Zacha, who's 25, who I think is just the perfect example of a guy who just needed a change of scenery. You know, I think in a perfect world, Boston is hoping and projecting that a guy like Zacha, maybe next year, maybe 2 years down the road, can sort of take over. You know, ultimately, time stands still for no man. Patrice Bergeron, 1 point, is going to move on. You know, ditto for David Krejci. It sounds like they're going to sign one-year deals at least here. So we'll see on that front. But I think in a perfect world, they want to see progression. And I think they're banking on a player getting a new and fresh start and really taking off from there. Because you're right, sixth overall in 2015, he's failed to live up to expectations Zacha has since entering the NHL back in 15-16. So I think that's the hope. I think clearly they'll start him on the wing with aspirations of potentially having this guy play, you know, a bona fide top six role for the future of the Boston Bruins. Because they're sort of caught in limbo, and I understand why people in Boston are a little disappointed with this team, but I think as long as you have those core guys, you have to try to compete, and that's what they're trying to do is hang on for dear life right now, especially as Bergeron and Krejci and Marchand and others get older, not to mention the negotiations continuing with David Pastrnak on a long-term extension.
And that's a great point that you made there at the end in terms of the Bruins hanging on to their life, because this is something that I've talked about at a multitude of levels. But next season, when training camp gets underway in September and when the season kicks off on October 12th in Washington against the Capitals, this is a team in which I look at the first couple of months, I am genuinely concerned and worried. They're going to be without Brad Marchand for the first 3 months of the season. That's at bare minimum. Charlie McAvoy is going to miss some significant amount of time. No, not McAvoy. Matt Grzyk McAvoy and Grzyk, they're going to miss significant time to start the season. So if you're the Boston Bruins, how concerned are you for the start of the season in terms of weathering the injuries? And obviously, it's only day one of a free agency, but if all of the cards fall into place in terms of they hope that Bergeron comes back and Krejci resigns, do you think they will be able to remain afloat and be in position to contend for a playoff spot?
Personally, I think they can, but again, everything just mentioned, especially with respect to Ottawa and Detroit and how much better they've become over the last, you know, week and a half, I think it's going to be that much harder. And, you know, I think it's a fair point to bring up that you're going to be missing some key pieces over some important games. They always say, like, you can't win the season in October, but you can certainly lose it. And I think it's imperative that Boston stays afloat, you know, picks up points here and there when they can and bides time for the big boys to come back. But certainly, I think there's a lot more heat on guys like Pastrnak, and assuming Bergeron re-signs, and, you know, Taylor Hall and David Krejci, assuming he comes back, and Craig Smith. Like, you have to prove why you're making the big bucks, and you really, really need to step up in moments like this and sort of carry the weight left behind by clearly Brad Marchand and clearly McAvoy and Grzyk on the back end. Like, it's a tough order, but I think if there's a team that can do it, it's the Boston Bruins. But again, a lot has changed in this division over the last 24 hours or so. So at the very least, it's going to be that much more difficult. But I think Boston could stay afloat at least.
In terms of the overall landscape in the NHL from today's movement at the trade deadline, one of the big stars that's still out there right now as a free agent is Nazem Kadri. And we saw the kind of Stanley Cup playoff that he just had for the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. Now, there is still some hope that Kadri could resign with Colorado, but there's also a possibility that he could also depart and play elsewhere. What is your gut feeling right now in regards to Nazem Kadri, does he return to Colorado or do you think he lands elsewhere? And if you had a sleeper team that could sign him, who would that team be?
I think it's unlikely, first and foremost, that he goes back to Colorado. I know they've been hinting at the fact that they would love to have him back. I just ultimately, I think he's at a point in his career where he's earned the payday. What else more does he have to prove? He had 87 points in the regular season, a great showing, even though he got injured in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He wins the Stanley Cup, and this is his big opportunity to chase that massive payday, right? So I just think he's, quite honestly, priced himself out of Colorado, and that's no fault of his own. And then on top of that, like, he's a centerman and a top six centerman. You could argue maybe even a top line centerman. I just think there are going to be teams lining up because every team always seems to need a top center. And for one to be available in free agency, I think it just takes that one team to overpay. We saw it on Johnny Goodrow. And, you know, I think in terms of teams involved, like, I think Seattle comes to mind right away. I think there could be some dark horse teams involved in that conversation, but Seattle's a team that makes a lot of sense to me. I just think ultimately it will come down to like where he sees the right fit is. But, I think clearly he's mulling this over. I don't think he's going to rush to a decision. And I think it's a lot about location as well with Kadri. That's why I don't think at least you could discount Colorado just yet. But another team I would watch for on their front, now that they picked up Goodrow, is maybe, you know, Columbus, the New York Islanders. There's several teams are still waiting on to make some, you know, decisions. And the other team I would throw at you, too, I think depending on how he feels, is maybe like a Detroit, right?
I would be stunned.
I think you're an outside player. How can you not be excited with what they're putting together there, too? So I think there will be the money there, but I don't think you should wait too long because there's another centerman out there in the name of Ryan Strome. And I think ultimately, as mentioned to start off this interview, like $500 million have been spent today. So teams are running out of money. And that's why I think the Kadri camp, better act quickly because we've seen so many times in past years where some free agents overplay the market and they don't get the money they think they deserve.
Absolutely. Nick Alberger, fantasy hockey and NHL betting analyst on Sportsnet, co-host of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. A couple more questions left before I let you go. We can't talk about today's NHL free agency period opening up without the big move that the New York Rangers made in signing Vincent Trocheck. And what's funny is that a little more than a week ago, I specifically said that I think Trocheck, if money wasn't a concern for the Boston Bruins, would be a fantastic fit for the Boston Bruins in terms of the style of game that he plays. He wins his faceoffs, he's ferocious on the forecheck, and he can put the puck in the back of the net. He got signed to a 7-year contract with the New York Rangers today, coming off a season in which he scored 51 points, 21 goals, and 30 assists in 81 games for the Hurricanes last season. Based on this signing alone, how much better does this make the New York Rangers, considering just how close they were to going to the Stanley Cup final just this past Stanley Cup playoff run?
And, of course, there's a relationship, I should say, is there as well with Gerard Gallant, who used to coach the Florida Panthers. But, you know, I think it's a bit of a different look. I like the fit. I like the cap hit. I'm not crazy about the fact that the contract's going to end when he's 36. But still, like, effectively, he's replacing Ryan Strome. Andrew Kopp, I thought, was a really good fit. It's unfortunate he's unable to re-sign there, goes to Detroit. But I do think Trocheck will develop quite a bit of chemistry with Artemi Panarin. That's who they're looking for, somebody to play with Panarin. Of course, Kreider plays with Zibanejad, and I think you have an unreal top six there on Broadway. So I like the fit, and I've always looked at, you know, Trocheck as a very unheralded player. It just seems like everywhere he's gone, namely Florida, to start his career, where I just think he was underrated. I think it continued in Carolina, had a really, really solid year, as you mentioned, with 51 points and 21 goals. And I think it's a really, really good fit because there's insulation there up the middle, right? Like, I know Carolina has Sebastian Aho, but they don't have Mika Zibanejad and certainly some other guns on that roster that the New York Rangers have. So I think he's going to be really, really effective in that 2C role for the Rangers, especially having the opportunity to play with Artemi Panarin, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's going to be fascinating to see how that line meshes next season when it gets underway. Last question I'll ask you, in terms of the Blackhawks, Max Domi and a surprise move. He goes to the Chicago Blackhawks and signs a 1-year deal, $3 million contract with Chicago. And I think about where Chicago is right now. and in the direction that they're going. They bring in a veteran who has shown the ability to be effective offensively, but even though his offensive numbers did go down last season, only scoring 39 points in 72 games for Carolina and Columbus last season, however, this is someone who I feel could be at least willing to bet on himself that he could be the player that he once was, being a former 30-goal scorer that he once was. So I wonder, between Max Domi and Andreas Athanasiou signing with Chicago, what does this tell you in terms of the direction that the Blackhawks are heading in as Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane are getting older and later in their lengthy contracts with the Blackhawks?
Let's call a spade a spade. It's unequivocally, this team is trying to get the first overall pick next year. I think it's quite profound in the way they've done business the last couple weeks with Dylan Strome and others, and obviously the big move with Alex DeBrincat. I think hanging over their heads as well will be Patrick Kane and Toews, as you just mentioned, entering their UFA season. I think the writing is on the wall. I know earlier today it was reported that they're going to sit back, let the dust settle, and then go from there. I just think they have to be realistic in the fact that this team is rebuilding and retooling, and they're not going to be good for the next couple of years. And when they are competitive again, these guys are going to be, at the twilight of their careers. I think ultimately it'll come down to, and it's probably their choice, do you want to be Hawks for life, or do you want to try to go win, Stanley Cups, plural? Obviously, I think players want that legacy, but I think you have to be smart about a situation. It's not like they're forcing these guys out, but it's quite definitive and clear what the game plan is. So I'm right there with you when it comes to Max Domi and Athanasiou and Colin Blackwell, who signs a two-year deal. Opportunity is the name of the game. These guys know that they'll go to Chicago and get prime real estate and prime opportunity, maybe some touches as well with Patrick Kane and Toews if they stay at least until the trade deadline, and have a chance to up their value. I think that's one thing to look at leading into next year's trade deadline. I think Chicago is going to try to boost the value of as many guys as possible and then ship them out. I think Max Domi is atop that list. Pretty much anybody with 1 year remaining. So you're going to look at Patrick Kane, you're going to look at Toews, you're going to look at Domi, Athanasiou. So I think I expect Chicago already to be busy at next year's deadline. But it's quite clear in my world, they're after the first overall pick, or at least the best shot to get one.
Nick Alberger, fantasy hockey and NHL betting analyst for Sportsnet and the co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Nick, it's wonderful to have you on the show again, and we'll definitely continue to keep touch and keep tabs throughout the summer as the NHL free agency period continues to steamroll on.
My pleasure, my man. Thanks so much for having me. Keep up the great work, okay?
Absolutely will do. Thanks, bud.
Take care.
That was Nick Alberger of the NHL Fantasy Hockey and NHL Betting Analyst for Sportsnet, co-host of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. We are going to take a music break. Coming up next, just want to give you some overall thoughts on where the Boston Bruins currently are and why I think this is a team that could potentially have a lot to prove next season. That and much more coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show, here with you until 9 o'clock right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
every day and every night we'll be together. With the roof right over our heads, we'll share the shelter of my single bed. We'll share the same room, yeah. Put your
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tusk Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show as I'm here with you for another 12, 13 minutes remaining in this program as covered up next at 9 o'clock, it looks like. Yep, it's at 9 o'clock on the town with Mikey D, Phil, Joe, Simches, Joe Allen, Sophia Cacciola. Hope I said her last name correctly. That's coming up at 9 o'clock after this show is as concluded. So here with you for another few more minutes. Just want to talk about some of the overall thoughts I have on the Bruins. Again, it's only day one of the free agency period and what is shaping up to be a pretty eventful offseason. And you heard Nick Alberger during the last segment, and it's really a shame that I realized it during the break that I did not log into Spintron to actually have the show archived. So I'm like kicking myself internally, like, darn, how on earth like did I forget to log into Spintron? So I won't even be able to like pull up the show and listen to it on demand later on and be able to listen to what was a tremendous interview between myself and Nick Alberger of Sportsnet. But man, the Boston Bruins, at the start of the offseason, I was one of the fans who I thought that, listen, next season, the start of next season, it's going to be doom and gloom. I'm concerned about this team. I'm not even sure if this is going to be a playoff team or whatnot. Who knows? Who knows what happens between Bergeron and Krejci, you know, if they in fact do return, if, because there is nothing official yet. They haven't signed a deal. I mean, the general consensus is that both Bergeron and Krejci is going to sign one-year contracts, but there is no pen to paper as of yet, so nothing's official. But even if Krejci returns, if he returns, what happens moving forward? What happens with the Bruins as they get ready for next season, as the Atlantic Division has gotten a lot more tighter? We talked about the Detroit Red Wings and the moves that they made today. And, you know, one thing I wish I did touch on a little bit was the Ottawa Senators and the fact that they signed Claude Giroux to that 3-year deal, $6.5 million. I mean, that's a pretty big get. Yes, he's an Ontario native and whatnot, so he, in more ways, will be returning home to play in Canada and whatnot. But from an offensive standpoint, that's a pretty big get for an Ottawa team that's suddenly looking very dangerous. Tim Stutzel, and then you talk about Brady Tkachuk, and as well now as Claude Giroux. Outstanding. You got a pretty good core there in Ottawa, and then you just traded away Matt Murray to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I thought that was a pretty interesting move by Toronto themselves as they try to find an answer in between the pipes. But the Bruins, I feel like a lot has to go their way in order for them to even have like a fighter's chance next season. Because I talked about this with Nick during the last segment, in which that they're going to have to really tread water. Brad Marchand is going to miss significant time. Charlie McAvoy is going to miss significant time. Matt Grzelcyk is going to miss significant time. I mean, right now the Bruins are the walking wounded. And even though they may make moves to improve the roster and to get better, I just feel that you look around the division and you look around where this team is going to be come next season, I can't help but to honestly think that, man, this is going to be real interesting. This is going to be really fascinating in terms of how the Bruins are going to tread water for the first 3 months of the season. You know, and Nick made a great point, and I want to reiterate this point here. The old adage is true in hockey. You can't win the division or clinch a playoff spot in October, but you sure as hell can lose your playoff positioning in the first month and a half of the season. Because we all know as hockey fans, what is the first benchmark of the NHL season? What is it? It's Thanksgiving. United States Thanksgiving. Because there is a difference between United States Thanksgiving and Canada Thanksgiving. There's a difference. But in terms of United States Thanksgiving, that's your first benchmark. And only then, and I do mean this, only then will we know where this team lands or where this team lies. If the Bruins are somehow miraculously in a playoff spot come Thanksgiving, they're going to be in good shape until, as mentioned, the big guns come back. Marchand, McAvoy, and Grzelcyk. I mean, who knows what's going to happen at this point in terms of what the Bruins' next moves are. I mean, here we are on the night of July 13th. You and I don't know. You and I just, we can't sit here and predict as to the direction of where this team is going to be or where they're going to end up lying in terms of the standings come November. It's way too early. But there's a beautiful thing called hope. Because at one point, there was very little hope in the Boston Bruins going into next season. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, the possibilities are endless. Who knows if Krejci comes back? Who knows if the Bruins somehow were to get Torey Krug back from the St. Louis Blues via trade? Who knows? I just feel like there's a lot of ifs, and there's very few concrete guarantees. But I also realize that the Boston Bruins are at a very critical point right now as an organization as to this one burning question that's only going to burn even brighter in the city of Boston, and that is what to do with David Pastrnak. Pastrnak has got one more year left. He's due for a new contract, and rightfully so, he's gonna get paid. Because let me tell you something, folks. He's gonna get Artemi Panarin money, if not more, than what Artemi Panarin is getting paid with the Rangers. Because he is that dude when it comes to natural goal scorers in the NHL. He's in the top five, no question. But the real question for the Boston Bruins is, does Pastrnak want to be here long term? Because as of right now, this is where they stand. They're waiting for Bergeron to make a decision. They're waiting for Krejci to make some sort of a decision in terms of what the annual average value will look like on both respective one-year deals. Who knows? My guess is as good as yours. But I do think it's interesting how right now the Bruins are playing a game called what-ifs. If you said right now, the Bruins, they're going to be a Stanley Cup playoff team next year, despite injuries to key guys to start the 2022-2023 season, I wouldn't be like jumping out of my seat, so to speak. Would I be surprised? Not really. But if you also told me that I don't see the Bruins making the playoffs next season, I don't think I would necessarily disagree. I'm very in between. If Bruin fans were to ask me right now, how do you feel? What do you think about the team? What do you think the team chances are for next season? My brutally honest answer is going to be, there's a lot of what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if, what if, what if? That's not a good place to be for an organization. If you want to call into the program, you can, to offer your thoughts on the Boston Bruins, and that is, you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show. As I'm here with you for just another couple of more minutes, as it's been great to be back here with you on these radio airwaves at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. If you want to follow me on social media, you can at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. You can follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. You can also follow me on TikTok there as well, as they're both under the same handle, Shukri Writes. If you want to follow me on Twitter as well, at SWRIGHTSRADIO_@SWRITESRADIO. That's how you can follow me and keep in touch with me on social media. Summer is just beginning. Red Sox are in a very interesting place right now, man. Goodness grief. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. And with all of that being said, with about maybe 3.5 minutes left here in the program, I'm going to end the show just a couple of minutes early. I mean, right on time now. I mean, there's another show that's coming up right after this one at 9 p.m. That's On the Town with Mikey D. That's coming up next. So stick around for that. That is a show that is going to be on the air starting at 9 o'clock, live right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. So that's going to be a great show. So stick around for that. So for right now, we're going to log out. We're going to say thank you for tuning in. I saw the numbers for the show tonight. There's a pretty good tune in to a pretty good audience and whatnot, and I'm appreciative of those who tune in and support and listen into the program. I appreciate it as always. And that is going to do it for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing off, saying have a good rest of your evening. Hope you have a blast. Want to end it on this note and play this PSA for you before I log off the show. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Good night, everybody.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.